Welcome to the July 21st, 2013 Armed American Radio National Broadcast, the podcast version. This week we continue the discussion from last week with two fantastic guests. Joining me in the first hour, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, also the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Mr. Alan Gottlieb joins the Armed American Radio broadcast. Hour two sees David Kodria and George Hill chiming in with their wit and wisdom as they do every week as regular contributors to the program. And in the third hour, no compromise, the executive director of the Gun Owners of America, Mr. Larry Pratt. And it was a funny beginning to the hour. Enjoy the broadcast. I'm Mark Walters, and I'll see you on the radio.
Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. A pleasure to have you here this week with me, Mark Walters, on the Armed American Radio Network. No shortage of anything to talk about with you today, is there? No. Obama steps in the mix again. He jumps in the fray. Injects race into a case where race played no part, fanning the flames of the poverty pimps who made a racial case out of something that wasn't racial. As he spoke again from the White House, second time regarding the Trayvon Martin case. Race, of course, an issue. Stand your ground now. An issue in a case that had nothing to do with stand your ground. Clearly an agenda at hand. We will continue to talk about it today on Armed American Radio because this is Armed American Radio. The mainstream media continues the lies and misinformation campaign about the case. We will set you straight with the truth. And we'll start with this, the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the truth can be very difficult. The truth hurts sometimes. It does. Here's a sad, truthful fact. Trayvon Martin is dead today because he attacked someone who was lawfully carrying a legally concealed firearm and used that firearm legally to defend his life when he was attacked. Period. Nothing more, nothing less. That's the truth. But what is it about the truth that so many Americans simply won't or can't accept? Refuse, literally refuse to accept. Are they blind? Why can you see it and why can't they? It doesn't change the fact. Blinding yourself to the truth doesn't change the truth. So why is it that a certain segment of our society, not black, not white, but an entire segment of our society can be so blinded to the facts? You heard last week on this program, Mr. Alan Corwin, good friend of mine and a good friend of yours, disclosed the fact that Trayvon Martin was not carrying an iced tea. He was, in fact, carrying an Arizona watermelon fruit juice cocktail. I've seen the photographs. You can see them, too. And a bag of Skittles. Why is that important? Why isn't the mainstream media telling you that? That it wasn't an iced tea, as Alan mentioned on the program last week. Because they are two ingredients that when mixed together with either prescription codeine or an over-the-counter cough syrup make a drink referred to by Trayvon himself as lean, or as he referred to it, fire ass lean, or purple drink, a common buzz in the urban hood. Look, I don't care what he was drinking that night. I don't care what he planned to drink that night. And I don't give a hoot what he was planning to do with that combination or that concoction. It doesn't matter to me. And like Alan Corwin from gunlaws.com, I also agree, as he mentions in his page 9 blog this week, if you're not getting that, you need to be getting that. Head to gunlaws.com and sign up. It is incredibly insightful. You will learn much weekly. But I agree with Alan Corwin, as he mentions in his blog, that the evidence that I just mentioned and that he mentioned was suppressed at trial. And I agree with that. I agree with Alan. It should have been. It was unknown to George Zimmerman, and it was irrelevant to the case. However, it is not irrelevant to the public. What I care about is the fact that the mainstream media, in possession of these facts since the beginning, along with the U.S. president, two well-known poverty pimps, and the most biased, corrupt, race-baiting attorney general in U.S. history, are not giving you the truth about that night. Why? Because it hurts. That's why. And it doesn't fit the narrative. It simply doesn't fit their agenda. What is that agenda? It hurts. The truth does. Those who desire to fan the flames of divisiveness to play into their political agenda. An agenda that includes the deep-rooted desire to strip you of your constitutional right to bear arms and use that arm to defend your life when you perceive it to be in danger. When you perceive it to be in danger. Not when somebody analyzes the wound to the back of your head after your head's been bashed to the pavement and says, oh, well, you know, that didn't need stitches. Not the Monday morning quarterbacking that goes on after the fact. But when you are getting your head bashed into the pavement, you have a right to defend your life, and they don't like that. Why? George Zimmerman was lawfully armed. They don't like that. George Zimmerman was carrying a concealed weapon legally. They don't like that. And now they're injecting race into a case where race was never brought up, except by them. Now they're injecting stand your ground, Florida stand your ground law, the law in over 20 states, by the way, that simply says you can use deadly force to defend your life. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a basic human right. And the stand your ground law says you can use deadly force or force, including up to deadly force to defend your life, anywhere you have a right to be. What the hell's the question with that? Self-defense stops when you walk out your front door? That's insane. It doesn't even make sense. It's a basic human right to be able to defend your life. They don't like it. Why? Because George Zimmerman defended his life with a gun. Legally. Every day the facts continue to come out in this case. George Zimmerman was doing the job the neighbors asked him to do. He was the eyes and ears of the neighborhood, and they asked him to report any suspicious activity to police. That's what the police asked him to do. That's what he was doing. When he was attacked, that's what he was doing when he was attacked by a younger and tougher Trayvon Martin. What have I told you countless times on this program? How do I end every hour with you on this show? And remember, this is Armed American Radio, where we discuss together, you and I, every week, your right, as a law-abiding citizen to carry a firearm to lawfully defend your life. What do I tell you when I close every hour? Never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that unarmed caveman. Zimmerman was carrying his club legally, lawfully, and has a moral responsibility to do so. He has a right to protect his life, just like you do. That's the truth. Some people don't like that. And as proven in that courtroom, Mr. Zimmerman used lawful deadly force to save his own life. Here's a question for you. I like this conversation because we talk about things here on Armed American Radio that the mainstream media doesn't. What if Trayvon Martin was wounded by George Zimmerman and not killed? Would we be having this discussion? Think about that. I've taken a lot of firearms training over the years. Every instructor I've ever been in class with will tell you the same thing. The object is not to kill anyone. We've discussed it here on the show with your firearm, but rather to stop the action against you that is putting your life in danger. This is basic human right. Would we be talking about this at all if the result of Zimmerman's shot was wounding that stopped the attack rather than Trayvon Martin's death? No. The results would have been the same. George Zimmerman would have been found to have fired his gun lawfully and in defense of his life. It would have never made the news. Unfortunately for Trayvon Martin, he was killed rather than wounded when he was lawfully fired upon by George Zimmerman. When we come back, the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, will join me to discuss this and much more here on the Armed American Radio Network. Back after this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.com. NRAHQ.org.
Carrying spare magazines is always a great idea. The Crossbreed holster outside the waistband mag carrier is the most comfortable OWB rig on the market today. The Crossbreed mag carrier provides great retention and a high ride, enabling total concealment and immediate access under only a light cover garment. Available for single or dual magazines, these incredibly comfortable magazine carriers may just save your life one day. Crossbreed holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. To order your Crossbreed mag carrier, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The new Tac Slide by Galco Gun Leather combines steer hide and kydex together for a fast, concealable, and economical holster design. The Tac Slide mates a kydex holster pocket to a slotted steer hide backplate with an open top and neutral cant to provide the fast and smooth draw. With 1 3/4 belt slots, the Tac Slide is worn close to the body for maximum concealment and comfort for under $40. Visit usgalco.com today. That's usgalco.com.
North American Arms offers the most popular mini revolvers ever produced. Chambered in 22 short, 22 long rifle, and 22 magnum, the North American Arms mini revolvers are the standard by which all other mini revolvers are judged. These incredibly small and compact revolvers offer 5-shot capacity in your pocket when the chips are down and your life is on the line. The 22 long rifle can also be ordered with a holster grip. For more information on these incredible mini revolvers, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The night. We may not own it, but we control it through silence. From Allegiance Ammunition comes the Silent Strike, the world's only 223 subsonic round that fully functions the M4, the AR-15, and the HNK-416. No more having to single stroke your AR-15 when firing subsonic rounds. Allegiance Ammunition has created astonishing stealth and maximum performance in a silent package. Visit AllegianceAmmunition.com. That's AllegianceAmmunition.com.
The Ruger American Rifle is a 100% American-made firearm that offers outstanding performance at a great price. Available in standard size and compact models, it features power bedding integral bedding blocks, a Ruger Marksman adjustable trigger, a flush-fit four-round rotary magazine, and a three-lug bolt with 70-degree throw. Compact models feature a shorter length of pull and a shorter barrel for a reduction in overall length of more than 5 inches. The Ruger American Rifle, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. Thanks for joining me wherever you are listening to the show today from across the country, from those toasty beaches of South Florida to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska and everywhere in between, including parts unknown from the Northeast down to Hawaii. We know we're being listened to in Hawaii. Shanto, my sidekick in Dallas, Texas. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing well. Was I on or off on my opening?
No, I think you were right on. I learned something.
It pains me to see people injecting themselves into and turning something into, you know, a bad situation, making it worse by talking about issues and injecting issues into that were not part of the issue to begin with.
Yes.
Which is simply fanning the flames of America's famous race baiters, and I hate to see that happen. In this particular case, you know, even the parents said this wasn't about race.
I
know. We could go to that. We have Alan Gottlieb on the phone, Sean, and we're going to have a great conversation with Alan for the remainder of this hour. Get some tremendous perspective from him. He is one of my favorite guests, ladies and gentlemen. Always even keeled and right on the money. Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. How are you, sir? And thank you for joining us on short notice.
Hey, it's great to be with you both. And Mark, you know, thanks for that great introduction, but I love being with you too, so it's mutual.
Well, I appreciate that, particularly the short notice aspect of this. You know, we're talking about the Trayvon Martin case, Alan, and there's a lot of people out there that say, you know, I'm tired of hearing this. They're not getting the perspective from the mainstream media that they get on this show, and I've got tons of email to prove that. Alan, in a nutshell, can you give me and sum up for me and take as much time as you want in this segment your thoughts on this whole fiasco?
Well, I think in your opening, you were right on the money. There's no two ways about it. What I find interesting is, you know, the so-called mainstream media talking about how he's just a nice kid just walking down the street with his Skittles, you know, and his iced tea, which, by the way, just for information's sake, it wasn't an iced tea. It was a fruit drink. But that's beside the point. Facts never seem to get in the way of the mainstream media.
Right.
But not to trivialize it, but I'm pointing out the fact that they don't get the small facts right. But the really interesting thing here is that, you know, it's not a matter of what he was walking down the street with. It's a matter of what he was committing while he was being shot. And like it or not, that was felony assault.
Right.
And, you know, he was on top beating up somebody, you know, hitting him, you know, breaking their nose, pounding their head into the concrete. That's felony assault. If he would have survived the shot and lived, would he have been prosecuted for felony assault? Or would the prosecutor maybe even overcharged him and charged him with attempted murder? I mean, the bottom line is he was committing a felony at the time. And that's why George Zimmerman had no other choice but to protect his life and shoot.
And he had a right, Alan. I don't want to lose that. I want to keep this alive. He had every right to do what he did. This is Armed American Radio. Alan, as you know, for the last several years, this is what I talk about every week, the right, the basic human right to defend your life. Not only your right, but the responsibility to defend your life, particularly if you have a family and people who depend on you. George Zimmerman had every right to do what he did in that courtroom, and that jury found that to be the case. What is it about people that don't understand this? And why, Alan, are they, well, they're exploiting it, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and let's be honest, you know, Mark. We're not really surprised that it's being exploited because, you know, anti-gunners, the race baiters, people with the left liberal agenda always will try to exploit it. What they don't talk about is this isn't an isolated case. You know, in the United States in any given year, law-abiding Americans shoot and kill 2.5 times as many criminals as the police do with less collateral damage.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is, if you look at the statistics and the numbers, that's something the other side doesn't want to talk about. So they want to talk about stand your ground laws, that, you know, get rid of them, that they're not good. The fact of the matter is that to substantiate that, what they show is that there are more justifiable homicides of criminals being killed. Well, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and thank you for putting that in perspective, and I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to the Bureau of Justice Statistics report, the latest report that came out. Of course, we all know Gary Kleck's famed study that found, on average, 2.5 million DGUs, or defensive gun uses, annually by law-abiding citizens. I'm one of those statistics. I used my lawfully carried firearm to defend my life and never had to fire a shot. Thank God. But when you look at Alan, at the Bureau of Justice Statistics report, out just a couple months ago. In fact, I believe early last month. Those numbers show about 138,000 on the low end, which if you break that down to divide that out by how many days that was, it comes out to over about 165 defensive gun uses where a law-abiding citizen uses a firearm every day. And, of course, the estimate is somewhere in between Gary Kleck's $2.5 million annually at 5,000 per day. And it's, people settle basically on around 2,500 defensive gun uses per day. What's wrong with that, and why don't they want to talk about it?
I know, it's hysterical, but even more updated than the numbers you're giving. Remember in January, Barack Obama signed 23 executive orders. One of those executive orders, you know, to deal with gun violence was to have the Center for Disease Control do a study on, crime prevention with firearms.
Right.
And they just released that report, and it's very interesting, but it says in the report that self-defense can be an important crime deterrent, and it shows that most people who had a firearm for self-defense didn't become victims. If they didn't have a firearm, they had much more chance of becoming a victim. And the numbers you gave out on Gary Kleck's study, part of what the Center for Disease Control did for Obama's executive order was they had the Institute of Medicine and the National Research Council do studies and sum up all the studies involving people using firearms for common defense against criminals. And their estimates showed an annual ranging from about 500,000 to more than 3 million times a year,
right,
depending on how they did their study, which even makes Gary Kleck's numbers look conservative.
Yeah, it does. It dwarfs it. He was at about 2.5 million when you divide that out. 365 days a year comes to roughly, we'll just ballpark it, but around 5,000 defensive gun uses per day. Of course, 3 million jumps that number quite significantly. This clearly, George Zimmerman's actions, lawful actions on that night, don't play into their political agenda. So again, we have to question what it is their ultimate goal here is. We've got an attorney general who stood up at the NAACP convention, ironically held in Orlando, just outside Sanford, Alan, and he brought up, again, stand your ground. What is it about stand your ground that had nothing to do with this case that the defense didn't invoke that would make Eric Withholder bring up stand your ground? What are your theories on why?
Well, it's simple. They want to advance their gun control agenda. You know, if they can't ban your gun, they want to be able to ban how you are able to use your gun to protect yourself. So they tried in Congress this year, you know, to ban, you know, various guns and high-capacity magazines. They failed. Now they're going to do the push based on this to try to limit how you can use your guns for self-defense. And that's what this is all about. This is an administration that is extremely anti-gun rights, don't support the civil right of firearms ownership whatsoever. And any chance they can use to try to push that agenda, they're going to do it. The problem is this time they're reaching so much that I think the American people, based on polling data that I've seen in the last week, realize this is an overreach, and I think it's going to backfire. It's getting gun owners more energized and fired up to realize their rights really are under attack from this administration. And at the same time, I think the average American is taking a look at this and saying, wait a moment, this has nothing really to do with stand your ground. And the bottom line here is the administration is trying to further an anti-gun rights agenda for no real legitimate reason to solve any real problem to begin with, because there isn't one out there. I think this is going to backfire and benefit us in the long run.
I couldn't agree more. When we come back, I want to ask you some more about your comments about Trayvon Martin and felony assault. I asked a question in my opening statement, and I'd like to get your response to that as well. Would we be talking about this if Trayvon Martin was wounded and not killed? Alan Gottlieb here on Armed American Radio. I'm Mark Walters, back after this.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I found a small lump. It just didn't feel right. After a biopsy, I was told that it was cancer.
Last year, Kimalea Conrad was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer.
I was devastated. I felt alone. I began praying, God, how do I do this? Where do I do this? Cancer Treatment Centers of America was the place.
At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, faith and spiritual support play an important role in the fight against complex and advanced stage cancer.
When I walk in to CGCA, it feels like a place of life and hope.
Advanced medicine and technology, the warm embrace of the spirit, and the power of prayer. That's Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a national network of 5 cancer hospitals.
I am so grateful and so blessed that I went to the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I am strong and I am joyous.
If you or a loved one has complex or advanced stage cancer, visit cancercenter.com/faith. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, care that never quits. Appointments available now.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are 2 simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance costs. For cost information, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was young and naive, and I found myself with $11,000 of credit card debt, 9 credit cards, and nothing to show for it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
And I ended up calling, and the lady on the phone was so nice. And it was really humbling because no one really knows what your financial situation is like. You have to open those doors.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They gave me the right perspective, and they got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
We are redefining weekend talk radio. Thank you very much for that reintro, Dr. Bennett. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters. Shanto in Dallas, my sidekick, producer, board op, engineer, my all-around great friend.
Hey, what's up?
Sean, hey, what's up? Sean, where can people watch us right now on the split-screen video?
RadioFactor.net.
RadioFactor.net.
Yes.
RadioFactor.net. Okay, Carmack, whatever that is. Carmax, you know Carfax, whatever you call yourself.
I've been looking for a hat to wear in the video. Looks just like that. I've come close.
Well, hang in. Next week, we're bringing the show live to the nation, around the world, actually. We've got a lot of troops listening in provinces in Afghanistan and those that are still in Iraq. We congratulate you, and we thank you for your service. Sean, next week from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, Crossbreed Holster will be here, and we're going to be giving away a Crossbreed pack some really cool stuff to lucky winners here on the Armed American Radio broadcast. I have an AAR. If you are watching the show, you can see the AAR logo behind me on the wall. I have an AAR embroidered polo shirt in XL. I have one of them. We'll be giving that away here on the program, and a signed Crossbreed Holster shirt by me that we did when we signed a couple of those T-shirts at the NRA convention.
Didn't you forget about somebody?
And you signed the banner. Did you sign the shirt? I don't know if you did or not.
I signed the banner.
You signed the banner, yes. Yeah. Very good stuff. And I have that signed banner in my home studio office.
I want a shirt.
Let's go back to Alan Gottlieb. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Gottlieb is one of the individuals you hear me talk about when I refer to those who are sleeping with toothpicks under their eyes. Alan is the man that's getting it done while you're sleeping. And you have and can exercise many of your Second Amendment rights and freedoms today because of Alan Gottlieb and his organizations, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the Second Amendment Foundation. One of my favorite guests. Alan, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Always good to be with you guys.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to have you here. I asked before the break, and I mentioned in my opening statement, Alan, that would we be having this conversation if Trayvon Martin had attacked George Zimmerman, which is indisputed. It's indisputable. That's what he did. And George Zimmerman fired to save his life, and Trayvon Martin fell wounded. Would we be having this discussion? Would there have been marches across the country this past weekend? Would the president be talking about race and stand your ground laws? Would this be an issue when, in fact, more people were murdered in Chicago over the weekend than in all of Sanford combined, ever?
No, I don't think so. And, boy, you're right about what happened in Chicago this weekend. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh, it's astonishing.
You know, there was also recently, and I believe it was in Chicago, where an African American shot a white woman and her child and killed them. And you know, you didn't hear any uproar or any demonstrations or the president screaming about that or Mayor Rahm Emanuel screaming about that. I mean, no, this has all been one-sided, and it's just been a media frenzy, so to speak, to push their liberal agendas. And one of those points in liberal agenda, of course, is pushing for more gun control. I think the race part is petering out, so now they're moving more to the firearms part by going after the stand your ground laws. I think we're probably going to see in the upcoming weeks now less and less talking about that it was racial, and more talking about how evil, you know, gun self-defense laws are because it allows you to shoot criminals, period, no matter what color they are.
Well, don't they embolden those of us in the pro-gun movement? And, you know, this is a group, probably the single most active voter bloc in the nation, and that is the pro-gun, particularly the pro-CCW voter, is clearly highly engaged, more so than any group I can think of.
Well, I think you're really right. And to be honest about it, you know, I live in Washington State, and in Washington we're having a dueling initiative battle between a pro-gun and anti-gun initiative. And this came about, you know, beginning of the week this week. And this week we registered over 6,000 new pro-gun voters to vote in the next set of elections. And I think partly what motivated those is the current attack on attacking their right of self-defense, using a firearm to protect themselves and their family from a criminal attack, is partly what motivated all these new registered voters that we're getting right now this week. So I have to agree with what you're saying.
Well, I agree with you. I think it is going to backfire if they continue this line of attack, if they continue to go after the stand your ground and attack these laws, which had nothing to do with this case. This is what is very difficult for me to wrap my head around until you get an email like this. And I want to read this to you, ladies and gentlemen. This came to me just a couple days ago. Hi, Mark. This is interesting. The attorney general is considering charging Zimmerman so he gets to hold on to the gun as evidence for a potential trial and Zimmerman doesn't get it back, leaving him unarmed at a time when there is a great threat to his safety. This is political theater with a bonus. Not only does the AG get to show he is pro-Martin and anti-Zimmerman, but he even gets to take another gun away from a citizen, an anti-gunner's dream. All the race baiters, Jackson, Sharpton, Holder, etc., have co-opted the movement. Despite the rally cries, this is no longer about justice for Trayvon. Actually, it never was. This is about an anti-Second Amendment agenda. Why else would the conversation center on getting rid of stand your ground laws, which were never considered to be an element in the Zimmerman-Martin case? This is all about anti-gunners sensing an opportunity and taking advantage of the emotions of the pro-Trayvon crowd. These people are getting played, and they don't even realize that justice for Trayvon is not only a myth, it's not even the goal of the movement. The real goal now is to infringe on the public's ability to defend themselves from attack with a legally carried firearm. The pro-Trayvon crowd has simply become a large group of useful idiots who will carry the water for the anti-gun puppet masters in charge. The people like Jackson, Sharpton, and Holder will use the very powerful issue of racial tension and prejudice to accomplish their anti-Second Amendment agenda. And they are hoping that non-blacks will avoid the fight because they are concerned about being labeled racist. Things are spiraling out of control, and this has the potential to cause a lot of harm, not only to race relations in America, but to our Second Amendment rights as well. We need to make sure that we aren't cowed by fears of being labeled just because we are standing up for our Second Amendment rights. That's from Mike Wood in Vacaville, California. Alan, that's the level of intelligence in these emails I'm getting from Armed American Radio listeners who are seeing right through this.
Well, I like to say nobody could have said that any better than Mike did in that email to you. And it's right on. But I just also want to point out, and I'm sure you know this, this is not the first time that Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or Eric Holder or Barack Obama has attacked stand your ground laws.
Right.
They've been
course.
Doing this for a number of years. They're just using this as their latest way to try and manipulate public opinion with it. This is nothing new. They've opposed stand your ground laws from the day they were passed.
All right, let's talk about the stand your ground laws for just a second. I had another email from someone I'll read later in the broadcast asking to clarify the stand your ground laws. And ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell, what stand your ground does, particularly the Florida stand your ground, let alone Florida wrote the book on stand your ground, as we now know, in over 20 states across the country. It says you have a right to use force up to and including deadly force to defend your life from a felony attack against you anywhere that you have a right to be without having to retreat first. Alan, what is it about that people can't get their head around? What is it that scares people about the ability to defend themselves off their front porch that they just don't understand?
Well, first of all, I want to say that most Americans support those laws. So when you say why people can't get their head around it, it's only a minority of people that can't get their head around it. The vast majority fully understand why those laws are there. And in Florida's case, one of the main reasons that was put in place was not just giving you the right to defend yourself like that, but also make sure that you couldn't be sued by the criminal who attacked you or by the criminal's family who attacked you if, in fact, you shot and fatally, killed him to defend yourself. So part of this is also the civil immunity so that after the fact you didn't become a victim a second time by being sued by the criminal, which was being done in the state of Florida. Now, as we mentioned earlier, I mean, they didn't invoke stand your ground as part of the defense for George Zimmerman because they didn't need to. It wasn't a matter of standing his ground. He wasn't even allowed that opportunity. He was being beaten up right there on the spot on the ground with his head pounded against the concrete and being punched in the face. At that point, it's no longer standing your ground. It's flat out normal self-defense, which is allowed in all 50 states.
And which is exactly what O'Mara and the defense team used successfully to argue George Zimmerman's case. When we come back, Armed American Radio continues with Alan Gottlieb, and I'm going to make an offer to George Zimmerman right here publicly on national radio. Armed American Radio continues after this. Okay, now we're going to talk about how you can get prepared to defend yourself and your family in a worst-case scenario. All of you know I'm a huge fan of Rob Pincus and his work with the Personal Defense Network. Well, the Personal Defense Network has assembled a series of revolutionary handgun training videos designed to make you more efficient with a defensive firearm in the context of a dynamic critical incident. This training course, which is only $39.95, offers more than 3 solid hours of powerful, practical, and proven techniques
techniques that will increase your speed and efficiency. Some of the topics covered include things like the balance between speed and precision, one-handed and weak-handed reloads, and of course, shooting around a corner. So to get a copy of this one-of-a-kind training course and to help support Armed American Radio, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com. Once you order, you'll get the 3-DVD training course for only $39.95 plus shipping and handling. This is a great deal. Check it out. Again, go to armedamericandvdoffer.com and get your copy today.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
One of the few guns that fits comfortably in your pocket, the North American Arms Guardian 32 ACP is the perfect combination of small size, high quality, and great stopping power. Convenient, reliable, and very effective. North American Arms stands behind the Guardian 32 ACP with a lifetime warranty. With standard capacity of 6+1 rounds in a pistol less than 4 inches in length, the Guardian ACP ships with 2 magazines and offers an optional 10-round capacity extended magazine. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
The Ruger 10/22 Takedown, a new take on the legendary Ruger 10/22. With all of the features and functionality of America's favorite rimfire rifle, the Ruger 10/22 Takedown easily separates for convenient storage and transportation. Reassembly is simple and returns the rifle to zero, ensuring precision shot after shot. Packed in a backpack-style bag included with the rifle, the Ruger 10/22 Takedown makes it easy to keep America's favorite rimfire by your side.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Galco's patented new V-Hawk tuckable inside-the-waistband holster reaches unheard-of heights in comfort, speed, stability, and versatility. Constructed of premium steer hide, the V-Hawk comes complete with leather belt loops and tuckable injection-molded hooks. The open-top design offers both speed and ease of draw, and the reinforced mouth offers one-handed return to the holster. Buy the V-Hawk from Galco at GalcoGunLeather.com today. That's GalcoGunLeather.com.
It's the weekly meeting of Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week. Now, your host, giving you a voice, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the show. That's a new rejoiner there, Shanto. I haven't heard that one before, I don't think.
No, that's a new one I added in today.
And you must have mixed up some of John Young. I appreciate it. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned before the break that I was going to make a public announcement, Sean, for Zimmerman.
Yes.
I've reached out to his PR team. I have invited them on the program. George himself, his brother Robert, Mark O'Mara. And I can assure you that at some point they are very busy right now, obviously.
Absolutely.
We will have them on the program, one or two, hopefully three of them, in the near future, very near future, on the show. And for that matter, they have an open invite if they can make it to call in today on the program. So you never know. We might get lucky, but we are looking for them. In the meantime, I would like to extend an offer publicly, Sean,
yes,
for George Zimmerman, that he... As we know, the Department of Justice is keeping his handgun from him, and I'm not the first one to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a number of people who have offered to purchase a handgun for him. I'd like to go a step farther and I will let his team know that he is free to take a handgun of his choice out of my safe, and I will donate it to him as a gift to him, whichever one he wants, from a small 22 North American Arms up to one of my full-size 40 calibers, 45 calibers. He has free reign of my safe for a gun of his choice, and I'll make that known to his team tomorrow as well. Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Alan Gottlieb, the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, great friend of the show, of mine and yours. Alan, welcome back.
It's always good to be back with you. I'm glad to be able to spend this much time with you. It's really good to talk these issues out for the public.
Well, you know, we're going to. I've asked you to stay a little longer, so I didn't do that on the air. I think Sean has got you has spoken with you, and you'll stay with us a little bit longer.
Yes, I will definitely do that because I love your show.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I asked you about George Zimmerman's. If we thought that we would be where we are today with this, Alan, if Zimmerman had not killed Trayvon Martin during the attack against him, but if he were only wounded. And of course, we talked about Chicago, and I want to take it to that direction now. Let's go to Chicago now, where the president calls home, Chicago, where his former chief of staff is now the mayor, mm-hmm. Rahm Emanuel, mm-hmm. where more black men have been murdered in the city of Chicago over a two-week period than in the history of Sanford, Florida's entire existence. And we see this day after day after day, yet there's nothing being said about it. Why is the mainstream media not covering this, Alan? Why?
It's not their agenda. I mean, you can't cover this and then make the argument that guns are evil and bad. The problem is that in order to push their gun control agenda, they have to ignore those situations and go for the Zimmerman-type situation. And what's interesting is that not just Chicago, but if we look across the country, as we pointed out earlier, you have hundreds of cases every day, you know, probably of over 1,000 cases every day, where somebody uses a firearm to protect themselves and their family from criminal attack. But the mainstream media doesn't like to report that. It may make some local newspaper or some local TV station, but it's never talked about nationally. If every day the media would talk about just a different case, well, just one case each day that happened across the country, I mean, the American people would know there'd be some balance here. But the problem is they will never. They ignore that completely because it doesn't fit their agenda.
All right, well, let me take that a step further, because I did a liberal talk show. I was a guest on a liberal talk show a couple months back where I was called a murderer because I was an NRA member. By the host, and that's when the interview went downhill from that point on, and the listeners got a dose of red meat. I broke my own rule and engaged and probably shouldn't have. But I didn't like being called a murderer simply because I was a member, as 5.5 million other Americans are. And to believe that it – and I'm with you on this. I'm not disagreeing with you – that it doesn't fit their agenda, we would have to believe then – that the mainstream media simply doesn't care about black men being gunned down in the streets by other black men during the commission of other crimes. Yet they tell me as an NRA member that I don't care about crime because I'm a member of the NRA. How do you square those two?
Well, you're right. You can really surmise that they don't really care about, you know, black Americans being killed because they don't want to talk about that. There's no two ways about it. It doesn't fit that narrative to push their gun control agenda, so they don't bring it up. And quite frankly, it's kind of callous, and it's one of the reasons why these problems never get solved. Because if you don't really look for the real solution, if you try to mask it with something that isn't going to solve a problem, like gun control, then what happens is that the real problem never gets solved. And they don't want to solve the problem. They want to keep it around as a narrative to push their agenda with forever. There's no two ways about it. It's very frustrating. It's annoying. But quite frankly, both you and I think, expect it.
Oh, there's no question we expect it. Guys like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and for that matter, Barack Obama, particularly with Holder, wouldn't have jobs if that were the case. It's simply, you're right, it doesn't fit that narrative. But when you dig a little bit deeper into it and you realize what's actually happening here, you can factually make the statement that the deaths of those people matter nothing to them. That they're continuing to allow it to happen to further a political agenda, and that should anger every American of every political stripe. Sean, you had a follow-up question for Alan.
Yeah, Alan, is that going to be the reason why the Al Sharptons and Jesse Jacksons come out of the woodwork when certain things like this happen? Is that why they refuse, even though Jesse has talked a little bit about the black-on-black shootings in Chicago, how is it that they haven't made this a major, you know, everybody comes out and stand for like they did yesterday? Is that the reason why? Same premise?
Yeah, I think it's really because it just doesn't fit that narrative, and the media doesn't want to hear that either. So if Jesse Jackson were to do that, he probably wouldn't get as much mileage in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. This is the only way he can get his attention. What's interesting is you didn't see Jesse Jackson, by the way, make any comments when his son was convicted and forced to turn in his firearms owner's identification card for his handgun. The hypocrisy is just rampant. It's hysterical.
Yeah. You all, let me talk about Jesse Jackson for a moment, because one of Jesse Jackson has always said some very provocative, outrageous, despicable things over my 51-year existence of listening to this man. But just a couple days ago, Alan, as I'm sure you're aware, he went on national television and he said that Florida was kind of an apartheid state. Now, I want to give you the definition of apartheid: a policy or system of segregation or discrimination on grounds of race. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that what this definition doesn't tell you is that it is state-based. And apartheid in South Africa that he is referring to separated the nation into groups of races, four main categories of race, and then broke those groups into subgroups. And this is what he said about the state of Florida, Alan. And the mainstream media continues to let this man get away with this as he calls for a boycott in Florida, which we now know the Congressional Black Caucus is backing away from. Ooh, that doesn't fit their narrative either, does it?
No, it doesn't. And what's really interesting here, of course, is none of these laws, stand your ground laws or self-defense laws, have anything saying, you know, the blacks can't defend themselves, but only whites can.
Right.
These laws are totally colorblind.
Thank you very much. Alan,
that
music means we're gonna have to head out for this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and also the Second Amendment Foundation. You have a right to keep and bear arms because of the work of gentlemen like Alan Gottlieb, and he will stick around with us here in the next hour. I'm Mark Walters, and as I tell you every single week here on this broadcast when I close out every hour, and it means more than ever now, never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that unarmed caveman. In order to do that, you have to carry on, carry often, and carry absolutely everywhere. You have a right to defend your life. I'm Mark Walters. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. You hear it here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ersop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ersop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.
Trinity.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and improve your credit score. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-936-5496. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call now or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
Trinity.
1-800-936-5496.